Welcome to God and Country Radio. The program discusses current social, economic, and political events in the life of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. The topic for this week is Gnosticism, the ancient heresy that plagued the early church. Gnosticism comes from the Greek word gnosis, which means knowledge. The Gnostics were those who called themselves the knowing ones. And there are many verses in the New Testament that are written to refute Gnosticism. Most will read these verses and not know about the false teaching that's being addressed in the text and miss the whole point of the verse. Such as 1 Timothy 6:20, O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoid worldly and empty chatter, and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, gnosis. What's Paul referring to? Well, generally speaking, every false ideology claims to have special knowledge. All the philosophers then and now make the claim that they can explain all the questions that we have concerning how we got here and where we're going. And these knowledge claims will most often contradict biblical truth. Hence, in 1 Timothy 6:20, Paul calls them opposing arguments. The Greek word is antithesis, or as we pronounce it, antithesis. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20 can read, avoid worldly and empty chatter, which is kenophonia, a vain voice, and it is the antithesis, which is falsely called gnosis, knowledge. And although all false teaching can be in view, there was a specific cult in the days of the early church called Gnosticism. And these false teachers combined elements of the gospel and paganism, certain bizarre elements of Greek philosophy. Christianity was becoming popular among the people, and these false teachers jumped on to the Christian bandwagon, telling disciples that they, the Gnostics, could explain further what the Bible was really teaching. And individuals who were identifying with the church for various reasons but were not truly born again would be prime targets for the Gnostics. The cults always sweep out of the church the unconverted religious. Acts chapter 20, verse 29, Paul said, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Also, 2 Peter chapter 2, false prophets also arose among the people in the Old Testament. And there will be false teachers also among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be maligned, and in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Now, those texts do not reference Gnosticism directly. They address all heresies. But here is a verse in 1 John that does appear to be addressing Gnostics specifically. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22, who is a liar, but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ. This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son doesn't have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. And immediately we might think of the Jews who did not accept Jesus as Messiah. But this verse and many other verses in 1 John are directly attacking the teachings of the Gnostics. The Gnostics pitted Jesus against God the Father, where God the Father is the evil God of the Old Testament, and Jesus is the good God. In John chapter 1, John writes, if we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. The Gnostics would claim that it's perfectly acceptable for Christians to practice immorality. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 2, we read, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming, and now is already in the world." The Gnostics taught a dualism, that the spiritual was good and the material was evil. Therefore, the good emanation called Jesus could never have taken a human body. He was just a phantom. So when the Apostle John writes in 1 John 2:26, "These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you," every Bible scholar and student understands that John was addressing the false teaching of Gnosticism. Remember, tradition has it that John lived the longest. He was writing the Revelation as an old man in about AD 90, and it was by the latter half of the first century that Gnosticism was the error infecting the churches. Now, we have a good understanding of Gnosticism because the early church father Irenaeus, who lived in the second century, wrote a defense of the Christian faith called Against Heresies. And in the first chapter, he thoroughly explains the teaching of Gnosticism and the leading Gnostics of the day. Now, let me point out here that even though there is this specific error or cult called Gnosticism, there is a little Gnosticism in every false teaching. In humanism, in liberalism, in New Age, in Jehovah's Witnesses, in Mormonism, in Christian Science. When we boil it all down, there are only two religions in this world: Christianity versus paganism, or theism versus humanism, or God versus the devil. Now, there are various mixtures and degrees of potency, but in the end, there are only two positions. You're either on God's side, or you're on the side of Lucifer. 1 Corinthians 10:20, "The things which a Gentile sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons." And I believe that at the end of this age, the line will be drawn much more clearly in the sand. The unity of all false religions will be made clear. The satanic ideology will become much more defined and promulgated, and the stand for Christ will also become much more clear-cut and decisive. Although there are many false teachings in this world, Gnosticism in its teachings is the crack cocaine of false teaching, because it's more bold in voicing a satanic teaching about God, man, and salvation. It came out more directly and admitted what Lucifer teaches, that the God of the Bible is the evil one. Now, the reason I'm addressing this ancient religion of Gnosticism is because Gnosticism has been revived in our day. Just as we would expect would happen, as our nation departs from God, and as we appear to be entering the last days. Now, the language of Gnosticism has been changed slightly, but it's still the same old lie of Gnosticism. Wokeism today has all the elements of ancient Gnosticism. The Gnostics preach that there was an esoteric special knowledge people needed to come to about oppression in the universe. And that's what wokeism is teaching today. If we understand the ancient demonic ideology of Gnosticism, we will understand postmodern wokeism. The same prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience, is telling the same lie today that he told in the first century and that he told in the garden to Adam and Eve, that Jehovah God is trying to keep you down. He's trying to keep you from knowledge because he doesn't want you to advance and become like him. So the only way to freedom and advancement is to break away from God. The Gnostics believed that this confinement of the material world is oppression. That the moral laws of nature were all evil constructs, and that freedom is to live according to one's own self-defined nature. Does that sound familiar? That's critical race theory and transgenderism philosophy today. That's wokeism, where one must become awakened to see that all of the morals and the principles of natural law, the laws of nature and nature's God, are evil and must be overthrown. Now, don't think that I'm the only one who sees this. Here's an article from The Federalist. Gnostic mysticism grounds modern progressive ideology. And this article, why the word woke encapsulates an evil, self-defeating ideology. These articles were written by Peter Bernfein, a pastor in Southern Michigan. It was written a book about the modern application of Gnosticism called Gnostic America, a reading of contemporary American culture and religion according to Christianity's oldest heresy. Quote, when I first saw the word woke in connection to a leftist cause, I had that panicky sensation of the madman in the wilderness who's been screaming about an oncoming danger nobody wants to hear about, but finally he has the first sign to prove what he had been saying. There it is. That is the Gnosticism I have been talking about, being woke. For several years now, I've been warning about the rise of Gnosticism in America. Much of my argument is subtle and calls for an in-depth understanding of traditional Christian theological categories and a careful reading of the American culture. This woke language is like the first hint of the wizard blatantly revealing himself, the first sighting of the iceberg. And it's Gnosticism, classic Gnosticism, that will make some sense once you read on, and in the process discover how wrong and how dangerous this philosophy is, as well as its practical effects. Here's how it works. And then Bernfein goes on to explain the mind of the Gnostics, which is the mind of modern humanism and wokeism, which is also the mind of Satan and all humanity in opposition to God. So what I'd like to do in the time I have left is to explain the doctrines of Gnosticism. Why do we need to know this? 2 Corinthians 2:11, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we're not ignorant of his schemes. And 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve, by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of Christ. Christians need to understand this battle between God and Satan, the arguments, or rather the lies of Satan, so that we can explain to you then, say, the decision that needs to be made in regard to salvation. So first, the cosmology of Gnosticism, which is the doctrine of origins. The pure God existed, and his thoughts were emanations that created eons. These eons were little gods, created beings. One of these eons, called Sophia, brought forth a being without the permission of the other eons. And this was a malevolent, deformed being. And this being is the God who created the world, called Jehovah God. And he is the one who created the material world, which is evil and constraining. Mankind was created by Jehovah God with the help of the other eons. The other eons wanted to save mankind from Jehovah God. And so a good eon came to Eve in the garden to save mankind, from the oppression of Jehovah God. As we read in Genesis chapter 3, the serpent informed Eve that this creator God, Jehovah, didn't want her to have knowledge, and he didn't want her to become like him. Genesis 3:5, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So in Gnosticism, Satan is portrayed as the good guy in the story. Now, how does this play into early Christianity? Well, the Gnostics were telling Christians that this explains the actions of the God of the Old Testament. He was full of vengeance and wrath against the natural proclivities of mankind. He destroyed the world in a flood. He sent fire down upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And these Gnostics told these early Christians that Jesus came to save us from this wrathful God of the Old Testament. So the Gnostics would make a separation between the nature of Jesus and the nature of God the Father. Hence, the Apostle John would write against those who make that separation between Jesus and the Father. 1 John 2:23, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father, and the one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As Jesus himself taught in the Gospels, John 5:23, so that all will honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Gnosticism would deny those texts. And in modern leftism, the same thing is occurring. Jesus is being defined as accepting everyone for who they are, that Jesus taught an antinomianism that overturned the law of God, or that Jesus is the antithesis or antithesis of the wrathful God of the Old Testament. Jesus is very popular, so wokeism claims Jesus as their liberator from oppression, even the oppression of the moral constructs of the Ten Commandments and the constructs of family and gender, which were made up by the powerful to oppress others, even made up by the evil creator God. So modern wokeism is the oppressive narrative of the ancient demonic religion of Gnosticism. It's a revival of the doctrine of demons. And notice that the Gnostic cosmology is exactly what we would expect Lucifer to claim in his rebellion against God, an argument that convinced a third of the angels to join him, that Jehovah God, being the creator, doesn't give him the right to rule over his created beings, even if they emanated from him. The argument is that other beings should also be autonomous. And who's really to say that the creator God, Jehovah, is the only one? I mean, sure, God says four times in Isaiah 46 that I'm God and there is no other, but maybe he's lying. And who's to really say for sure that Jehovah God has always existed? Maybe he was also created. Maybe he evolved. Now, this all sounds wild, but we must understand and think through the core arguments of Satan. Now, of course, Christians, the followers of Jehovah God, make a completely different confession. We believe that Jehovah God is the righteous one. He's the truth. And it's right for him to create laws and constraints upon his creation, what the left calls unfair constructions, you know, implying with the term constructions that these laws created by God are arbitrary. And, you know, this all needs to be explained in our witness to this generation. People need to know the choice they're making, for God or for Satan. And what I see happening in this world is that the unsaved are becoming woke to the beliefs of Lucifer himself. And since those satanic doctrines agree with their autonomy and their lusts, the unsaved are beginning to say, hey, I really like this Satan guy. He's my guy. He makes sense. And what I suspect we'll see at the end of this age is the whole world blatantly following this antithesis and the Antichrist. I'm running out of time here, but here's one more doctrine of Gnosticism concerning revelation, inspiration. For Gnostics, the source of truth is not the Bible, but knowledge of the transcendent is arrived at by way of interior intuitive means. Gnosticism stresses that knowledge is arrived at by inner knowledge. Now, that sounds very philosophical, but it simply means what most people on the street already believe, that their own opinions, their own thoughts, and their own experiences are the source of truth. So people will say, I think, and then go off into explaining how they think morals and the universe ought to work. Again, this is what Paul is referring to in 1 Timothy 6:20, what is falsely called knowledge. The authority is not God's word, but oneself. What one imagines is the truth is the truth. Now, of course, unbelievers in liberalism have been saying this for centuries, but Gnosticism comes right out and admits it. You know, at least classic liberalism would say there is a law of nature and nature is God, even though they would discount the Bible. But Gnosticism comes right out and says truth is whatever your conscience likes. Truth is your own reality. Here's an article from the Gospel Coalition that explains this further. The article is entitled "The Ancient Heresy Driving Modern Identity." And this author explains that ancient Gnosticism has surged to become the controlling myth of our age. Because in the Gnostic worldview, the material world and its distinctions, natural laws, are essentially evil. For example, the difference between male and female, or the notion of there being a natural order to human sexual relations. In Gnosticism, and in today, they are at best an illusion, and at worst, corrupt deceptions. All that belongs to the outer world of society and religion, indeed the outer world of your own body, is all irrelevant and deceptive. And this is wokeism, this is transgenderism, that the human body can be a mistake, so you can choose your own gender and your own mind. In fact, you can be multiple genders. So let's realize that there are the lusts of the flesh, but there's a whole philosophy or ideology created to justify the lusts of the flesh and to justify human autonomy. And this article goes on to do a great job in explaining the tenets of ancient and modern Gnosticism. Number one, freedom is found by escaping any natural order. They hate the natural order because they hate the creator. Number two, freedom is found by looking within, not by looking to God. In fact, one needs to free himself from God, Jehovah God. Number three, being a fulfilled human being means obeying your inner feelings. Number four, being human means creating your own identity, even if it means erasing the identity given to you in past years. In the past, your identity was based on several givens that you had little control over, like your sex, family, background, race, culture, and nationality. Your task was to make the most of what you had been given. But today's secular culture encourages people to discover their true identity within, to create their own identity in any way they like. And so where there's a conflict between your given external identity and your feelings, the modern approach says it's your external identity that's the problem and needs fixing rather than your feelings. Unquote, the ancient heresy driving modern identity. So basically, Gnosticism is the I am God syndrome. Genesis 3:5, you will be as God. And we will increasingly hear this false teaching in this world. Our political leaders will increasingly be promoting a lawlessness based upon Gnostic ideology. So we need to know these things. I'm out of time. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The extended video version of this program is at my YouTube and Rumble channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. The website for all of the links is godandcountryradio.org. Spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help your people to better know the confession of faith that saves. Help us to better understand the conflict of the ages, the battle against your authority, so that we may speak as we ought to speak to our lost generation. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.